Let Mary play outside.
Right where?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to worship in your house today. We know that your power is infinite and your love is everlasting. Lord, you know our church is dealing with major changes lately. People are worried about what the future holds and wonder what path their congregations will decide to take. So, Father, I'd ask that during this conference, help bring comfort to our hearts and unite us in fellowship. Let this conference give hope and comfort to all that attend. Now as we begin this worship service, please open our hearts and minds to your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
In the name of our Lord Jesus, welcome to each and every one of you here this morning. Good to see you all, and welcome to our visitors this morning. It's good to have you folks from all the way from Kansas. Good to see you. I won't take up your time by reading what's in the bulletin. You can do that yourself. I will make a comment about collecting cleaning supplies. Our homeless shelters last year, we called them and talked to them and said, what do you need? You need coats or hats or gloves or socks? They said, no, we need cleaning supplies. We need, and so we got about a half a pew up here in cleaning supplies, but I'd like to see us fill that pew up so that we can get those up to our two homeless shelters around the 1st of December. So they can have, take advantage of the cleaning supplies. This Saturday, November 26th, hanging up the greens will occur here at the church. Then that Sunday will be the first day of Advent. And let's see what Doris has prepared here for the first day of Advent. She's got the Advent program, the liturgy that goes along with the lighting of a candle, the scripture and the prayers are right here. And we need people to sign up for which day, which Sunday, you want to do the Advent candle. November the 27th, December the 4th, December the 11th, December the 18th, and December the 25th. That's Christmas Day, and we'll be lighting the Christ candle on Christmas Day this year. Okay, I'll place this in this sign-up sheet in the back, and you can sign up for it. To be a person to read the scripture and light the Advent candle. Okay, now, any other announcements, anything anyone would like to share with us this morning? If not, let's turn our attention to our prayer corner this morning. And I want to welcome Terry Davenellis. Terry hadn't been with us for a while. She's had some health issues herself. Her husband has had some serious health issues, but Terry was telling me this morning that on December the 7th, she's going for laser surgery on her her, is it her left eye, Terry?
No, right eye.
Okay, I'm sorry. And then on the 1st of January, somewhere along the 1st of January.
January 3rd.
January 7th?
3rd.
3rd, okay. I'll get it right in a minute. She's going to have a cornea transplant. And she's going to be kind of blinded there for a little while because she can't see too good out of her other eye. So let's be much in prayer for Terry Devanellis and for George, her husband, who has some serious prostate trouble. So let's be much in prayer for Terry and George Devanellis. Gene Turnmeyer, back there with us today. Good to see you this morning, Gene. He's telling me he's going to find out this coming Tuesday whether he's done with all the radiation, chemotherapy, and whatever. He says a lot of the few of the spots and things on his lungs are gone. The lymph nodes are clear. And there's another one little spot down here that they're looking at. And let's keep Gene Turnmeyer in our prayers that on Tuesday this coming week that he's clear of all chemotherapies, radiations, and the like. So keep Gene Turnmeyer in your prayers. Also, Barbara and David DeVries are not here this morning because Barbara has got COVID.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, David called me last night and said that
Barbara has COVID.
Down with COVID. So let's be much in prayer for Barbara and David DeVries. Are there others that we need to add to our prayer list this morning? My wife, Maxine, thank you, Lynn. Maxine was wanted really bad to be here this morning, but she just could not make it. We had COVID back around the 1st of October, and I came through it pretty good, but Maxine was weakened. She has a serious heart condition, and COVID weakened her, and she's gained some of her strength, regained some of it, but it's not all back yet, so thank you for your prayers that have got us this far, and they will continue to strengthen us. Thank you so much. Anything else? Pastor?
Thank you, Jerry. We've got a situation back there. Got feedback on that microphone?
Don't know what it is. It's with the lectern mic.
Okay.
But I think we're good.
Good morning, everybody. It's so good to see y'all. We had a really nice service this morning at Bollinger's Chapel. We kind of, with our prayer of our sick and everything, we started talking about a family that has a very sick child. They got newborn, and they're having major issues. I think I shared with you the fact that I spent 3 months with hospice, had a chance to see a lot of things. There's a lot of nursing homes, a lot of homes, individuals, and then my last 2 days I spent time with Cardinal Kids where they're terminally ill children, which brings a whole different perspective on sickness and life and everything. It's no secret that we live in a world where there's all kinds of issues, and sickness is one of them. But when Jesus walked this earth 2,000 years ago, he healed a lot of sickness, physically. But he opened the doors to our salvation, someday to know that we won't have to worry about being sick or watching sickness or people being sick, because we'll live in a perfect world where there will be no sickness. But right now we live in a world where there is, and we have a list of people that are very ill. So let's go to our great physician and take our concern with him. Father, we're so grateful to be in your house this morning. We look to you for strength and for guidance as we deal with so much sickness and issues of health concerns among families, even our young ones. Father, we've fought for now for 3 years this COVID virus that has taken over the whole world. We've lost people that should not have been gone before their time. Father, while we may not be able to understand all the issues of health and concerns that the world faces, we know in spite of it all, we can turn to you, our great physician, to help heal and mold us and bring us back unto your will. Father, we're grateful for this church. Though we may be few, our heart is large. We compassionately give so much to so many ministries. And Father, we continue to look to you for guidance and for strength as we face an unknown future. But Father, we believe, though America has her faults, that her core values are woven within the scriptures of goodness and hope and love and compassion and freedoms of choice to choose. And we have our millions of veterans who have given up their service and their time, and many of them have given their lives to protect the sacred core of American values. And today we recognize them and their service. In some humble way, we try to share with them our deep appreciation for them and all that they've given to this nation. Now, Father, as we go throughout this service, open our hearts and our minds, that we might know more about your word and your purpose for our lives. Lead us, Father, even though we continue to struggle in so many ways, we know that at the end, you stand there waiting. And now, let's remember that sacred prayer that you taught us 2,000 years ago when your disciples looked to you and they said, Lord, how do we pray? And you said to say these words, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
When I survey the wondrous cross, verses 1, 3, and 4. If you'll stand with me as we sing.
we share in the Apostles' Creed, as found on page 881 of your hymnal and on the screen.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated.
And they came around, and after they signed the treaty signed on November the 11th. November 11th at 11 o'clock. 11, 11, 11. 11th month, 11th day, 11th hour. There's a reason for that. And then finally, in 1954, which was President Eisenhower, finally changed it from Armistice Day to Veterans Day. And since that time, we have recognized November 11th being a special day to recognize our veterans. But I want to ask you a question. What is a veteran? What is a veteran? Well, I'm going to tell you a story about a young man grew up in the backwoods of Missouri. He didn't have a lot of education at the time, but he didn't go back to school. And when the World War I broke out, this young man joined the service. He wanted to get in a naval training session and fly a plane, but when they thought his vision was 20 over 400, they knew that wasn't going to happen. But he was such a fiery man, had such a great personality, a tremendous leadership. He did earn himself a captain, and was later put in charge of an artillery division in World War I. After the armistice was signed, this young man came home, back to his old Missouri home, opened up a little small business, decided to run for office, became a judge. After that, he decided to run for a senator, and became a senator. In 1940, this backwoods little boy, became President of the United States. His name was Harry Truman. Now that you recognize the name, he was the 33rd President of the United States. In a short time he was thrust into the presidency, he had to make some very important decisions in a very short amount of time. He had to decide whether or not to drop the first and only atomic weapon on an enemy, praying that would end the war, and it did. But only at the death of hundreds of thousands of people. And shortly after the war, he had a very popular president, General MacArthur, who was in charge, Supreme Commander of the forces in Europe. And when the communism broke out in Northern Korea, he told them, okay, now you need to put these communists back beyond the 38th parallel and stop there. But being the general he wasn't going to stop there. He pushed on beyond that and had plans to bomb cities in China because he knew they were leading this charge. And after the president said, no, don't do that, he said, yeah, I'm going to anyhow. We all know Truman fired him. It took a lot of courage to do that. Courage. Commitment. Well, shortly after that, he had a chance to run for a third term, but he chose not to, so him and Bess decided to get in that car and head back to Missouri. So him and Bess got in the car, no fanfare, no security, just got his car and drove back home. Well, after he got home, it wasn't long before he started to get offers about the big jobs and big money. He said, no, I'll just live off my retirement, my pension. The only thing that he had at that time was his pension as a captain, making $13,000 a year. That was his only income. Well, Congress said that's not worthy of a president, so that's when they started the retirement program or pension program for the presidency, and he got $25,000 a year. That's what President Truman earned after his retirement. But then the corporations came knocking, you know, offering him big bucks to go to work for him. And this is what he said to these corporations. He said, you don't want me. He says, what you want is the office of the president. And it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the American people. And I can tell you right now, it's not for sale. And as time went on, May the 6th, 1971, during his 87th birthday, Congress wanted to bestow upon him the Congressional Medal of Honor for all his work that he did in the time that he did it, and he refused to accept it. He said, "I don't consider what I have done to be anything special, and definitely not worthy of the Congressional Medal of Honor," and he refused it. Did you know that when he was in office, he would write letters everywhere to different people, and he wrote them himself, bought his own stamps, and licked them and mailed them himself? He bought his own food, him and Bess, totally opposite of what we would recognize today of being office worthy of the presidency of the United States. Dedication, commitment, humility. Beloved, those are the elements of a leader. You see, Truman kind of set the benchmark for the whole world to follow. A strong leader committed to the task of being a presidency, making the tough decisions, but being truly humble. Truly humble in his service to his nation. Tell you about another veteran. His name was Paul. And Paul was a veteran of the service of Christ. Now, it's probably easy to understand, since he got knocked off his horse and blinded by God himself, he probably had a really good reason to stay focused on his mission. Well, we all know about the Damascus Road experience, but we maybe did not know that for 30 years, Paul crisscrossed across the world at that time to serving Christ, to sharing the gospel to anybody and everywhere he went. He built churches. Do you know there are 14 books in the New Testament that was written directly by Paul himself? So what happened to him during those 30 years he was serving Christ? He was beaten. He was whipped. He was jailed. He was shipwrecked 5 times. And he was stoned. And finally, he was martyred by the Emperor Nero. You see, he was also called to serve, but in a little bit different capacity. He was a veteran of Christ. He had a mission. He was dedicated. He was committed. He was humble. Begin to see a picture here. Today, folks, our veterans, like Paul, are also called to serve, maybe in a different capacity. But they still are called to serve our nation. And they go willingly to the service of our country. And what happens when they do that? Well, first of all, they're shipped off to a foreign land, away from family and loved ones, facing a whole new world. I remember Charles McGee shared with me one time, if you know anything about his story, he was basically an orphan and raised by some family member on a dairy farm. When he turned 18 and finished high school, he got involved, became a Marine, and he was sent to the Vietnam War. Try to picture that, not having any close family, growing up basically alone, and now you're thrust in the middle of a war that nobody wanted. And he got off the plane, he shared with me, he says, "Steve, when I got off the plane, I looked to my right with my new uniform, everything, and there was a whole set of body bags waiting to be sent back home." You see, I knew there was a reason why I was there. So veterans are committed to a cause, bigger than themselves. This is what veterans do. They are humble. They are dedicated. They are committed. And what are they committed to exactly? I'll get back in just a minute. But I found this poem, and I thought it really said the whole picture about veterans. It is the veteran, not the preacher, that gave us freedom of religion. It is the veteran, not the journalist, who gave us freedom of the press. It is the veteran, not the poet, that gave us freedom of speech. It is the veteran, not the lawyer, who's given his right to a fair trial. It is the veteran, not the politician, who's given us the right to vote. It is the veteran who salutes the flag, who serves under the flag, who gave oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, whose coffin is often draped with the sacredness of our flag, paying the last part of measure to defend our core values as an American and a nation. So what does it mean to be a veteran? America has her faults. We all know that. America is not a perfect nation. We all know that too. But if you read the Constitution and the core values of this nation, you cannot but feel that the fabric of that is woven within these scriptures. That we are here for a reason. In Thomas Jefferson's Declaration of Independence, he wrote this: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all, ladies, I apologize, men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." That's who they are. They defend us against the enemies of this world that would take away our freedoms. Beloved, next to the grace that is given to us by our Creator, being born in this nation despite America's faults, we hold these gifts of freedom and our core values as being sacred. And I pray that even today, while we in cell have folks in our government that would want to take these freedoms away from us, that we are like Paul, committed, devoted, humbled to our cause as we defend the core values of this nation. And that is who a veteran is. What do they defend? They defend the right to feed the hungry. They defend the right to help the poor. They defend the right to help a nation in disaster when in need we come to their side and to their aid. We have the right to minister to those in need. Isn't this what Christ did? Didn't Christ heal the sick? Didn't Christ feed the hungry? Didn't Christ give souls to lives that are struggling? Didn't Christ break down every social and civil barrier then in his time? When the religious leaders came to the disciples and said, "Who is this that even associates with sinners?" Beloved, I think this is the moral code of America. That we possess the gift of freedom, compassion, dedication to a cause so much bigger than ourselves. If you remember the bronze plate that is on the bottom of the Statue of Liberty, and it goes like this: "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free." This is America. We are who we are because of our veterans. You look out across the world's countryside, you see it littered with white crosses and white tombstones, thousands of them paying the price of freedom with their own lives. Never growing up, never knowing what it's like to be a father or a husband or a grandfather. They pay the ultimate price for our freedom. And we need to remember them. Remember who they are and what their lives are all about. When I think about that sacred scripture, It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and never lean into your own understanding. And always, He will direct your paths. This is America. This is what I've had in your life. Committed, dedicated, humble. And veterans, from the bottom of our hearts in America, we humbly say, thank you. And Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Savior bleed, verses 1, 4, and 5. Just stand with me as we sing.
But the drops of tears can never
Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May be with you in your rising up and your lying down, in your labor, in your leisure, your laughter, and your tears. The day when you see Jesus, the day when there's no sunset, no dawn. Amen.